Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
You are listening to the Grief Gang podcast, hosted by Amber Jeffrey, the podcast dedicated to having difficult and layered conversations on grief and loss. Through my own personal reflections on grief, inspirational guest appearances, and contributions from the incredible community, you will find an array of real, authentic, moving, and at most times humorous accounts of what it's really like to live with grief. It's not always doom and gloom, I promise you that. We know how to have fun whilst talking about the heavy stuff around here. So, welcome to the gang, the one you never asked to be a part of. So, I ran in the London Marathon 2024. Let's talk about it. I am going to be real. I feel like being and having completed the London Marathon has partially become my personality. I said I would never be that person, but I think I am, just for a little bit. But I promise that this will be the only recap episode on it. Well, maybe until next year if I get in again and we'll be here again. But for now, you know, I do want to talk about it. I do want to gloat maybe and just reminisce, because actually it is a week today that I ran in the London Marathon. And I'll be so honest, I think this whole week I haven't had time to process, or you know, it's a complete new experience for me, and I haven't known how to process it. It has been an incredible, a sore week. By the time this episode goes out, I think I should have gained all mobility back into my limbs. Hopefully the blisters on my feet have fucked off. To be confirmed about those. They're the thing that have been fucking me up this week. The limbs, I've been staying active and whatnot, but at the core of this episode, I'm not just going to talk about running. I'm going to talk about, you know, obviously why I chose to run the London Marathon and kind of my thoughts throughout the marathon that relate to grief and just my experience of it, and hopefully maybe perhaps inspire some of you to take on the challenge of the London Marathon or any other marathon wherever you are in the world listening to this, because I'm whether this is me being dramatic or not, I don't know, and anyone else who has ran it previously, I genuinely think there is a wiring in my brain that has switched. Like, there's something that has been rewired in my brain after running the marathon. Whether that is something broke in my mind or something just was switched on, something has changed, like, cognitively for me, whether that is just still adrenaline and just being on a high, but, and I will explain why that is and going through that, but I'm laughing because part of me still doesn't think it's real and that it happened. I keep watching back the video that I posted online. Probably all those views are just me alone, because I'm watching it back to try and be like, is that me who did that? It feels separate to my existence, you know? I look at that person, I'm like, is that me? That's running and documenting that. It doesn't feel like it's me. A very strange out-of-body experience. But I'm going to go all the way back to kind of this time last year and what on earth inspired me to put my hat in the ring for the London Marathon 2024.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So some of you will remember on Instagram last year, I think I fell into the, inspiring videos on TikTok and social media of people's 2023 marathon experience. And one of my friends, Vicky, she ran in it as well. And I saw it and I think I just was like, fuck it. Like in my fundraising page bio, I wrote in it, you know, challenges and charity challenges has been something that both my brother and I have, you know, endeavoured on since our mum's death. And my brother particularly, he does with a group of people, his friends, our family, the London to Brighton bike ride every single year. And throughout COVID, obviously it was paused, so you know, they've been back rearing on the bikes over the past couple of years. And so that's sort of like his challenge that he puts himself through every single year. And my last charity run was like a 10K with the British Heart Foundation. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I never do anything in halves, you know. Why did I go from 10K to 42K? I didn't even do a half. This will be my episode to process like the ludicrousness of what I done. So like I said, my last ever charity thing was with BHF 10K. And that was, I think, you know, 2018. So we're talking a good 6 years ago, right? And so I put my hat in the ring last year with the ballot, didn't get the ballot. And I applied for a few charity spaces. And I, of course, applied for the British Heart Foundation and sold my case. And then I applied for a few charities like for Poppy, that supported Poppy, places like Anthony Nolan and Maggie's. I didn't hear anything back. So I thought, so this is, you know, April, May time that I've started applying. And I didn't hear anything over the summer months, except for the ballot decline. So I thought, oh, my ship has sailed for you. I was quite like, for you, I've got out of that one. And it was September, early September. I swear to God, September last year. What the fuck was going on in the stars? I don't know. It was the most strangest month of my life. And it was the beginning of September and I was at the Oxford Trauma and Mental Health Conference as a speaker. Some of you might recall from the Instagram. And it was, I just arrived there, my phone started ringing and I was in a speaking conference, watching someone speak. And so I picked it up afterwards and they called again. I answered and it said, hello, we're the British Heart Foundation. We've got your application. We'd really love to offer you a space. Congratulations. And in my head, I thought, what on earth made you think congratulations was the right word there, babe? And I was like, oh, genuinely speechless. Didn't know to accept, to decline. It felt like an ambush. I was like, oh, she's like, would you like to accept it? And I was like, yeah. Had I been running throughout the summer? Absolutely fuck not. Said yeah. And there it was, signed on the dotted line that I was running the London Marathon 2024. And I called up my partner and I was like, I've accepted the space. And he was like, fucking hell. And then it was, okay, let's start training, air quotes, training, right? And then as we know, later on that month, September, Poppy died. And so it threw everything out the window, like training-wise and capacity-wise for it. I, you know, as we know in grief, couldn't get out of bed most days throughout October, November. The whole part of last year was obviously really hard. And I thought, I've got to train for a marathon still. And it's now in the coldest weathers here in the UK. It was grueling. And like, I'm not sitting here like I'm saying I was training rigorously. I really wasn't. I'll be so real. The furthest distance I ran before the marathon was 12K. I didn't prioritize it. I didn't have the energy for it. When I did, it was great, but I couldn't actually really find quite a consistent training. And this is just me being honest with it, not being like, to be like training and then gloat about doing it. It was probably really reckless of me, to be honest. Like, when I got to that start line, I thought, this is a really reckless thing you're doing, Amber. This is very silly and very reckless. Anyway, so yeah, start to train a little bit, and I soon begin to understand what the runners talk about when they say runner's high, what it does for you, for your mental well-being, for your health. I soon, definitely in the past few months, as you know, the weather got nicer and it was easier to get out, and I kind of knew my routine with running, did I really start to see, oh, I actually do quite like this running malarkey, right? And the final couple of weeks, you know, end of March into April, really was beginning to feel that, oh my God, it's happening, it's coming, it's literally 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week away. And I was really worried that I nearly started and had an injury. My right calf, like just on the inside of my calf, really started to hurt about 2 weeks before. I think I pushed it too far with a run and I really started panicking of, fuck, if I, you know, it was healing, but I've got to run 26 miles on it. This could really fuck it up here. So I was just tiger bombing the shit out of it. Stretches every single, like 3 times a day doing this stretching routine, massage gunning the lot. And I was like, fuck, that was my biggest worry. I thought, I don't think my leg is actually going to hold out for it. And in the days before, to be honest, I was like, oh yeah, Amber, you need to take this more seriously. The Friday before, so yeah, like a week ago Friday, I was at a family funeral and got quite drunk. Oh God. Thinking about it now, if someone was telling me that they're training for the marathon and they were telling me this, I'd have been like, oh. But in my mind, I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And I got really drunk on the Friday at a family funeral and woke up Sunday. I wasn't too hanging on Sunday, but I thought, oh, Amber, you should really kind of be in like, you know, zone here. No, I was thinking Guinnesses with the family on Friday. Anyhow, I was more throughout that whole week and even leading up, I was really excited, you know. Nerves came fleetingly and like bits and bobs, but the overall feeling was excitement. I was so excited I was doing this, and I've got a smile on my face because I really, and it was genuine. That wasn't me just trying to like gaslight myself into, you're excited, you're not shitting bricks. I genuinely was excited. And even though I was doing it on my own, I mean, you know, not on my own, there was 50,000 people doing it, but in terms of support and friends running it with me, there was no one running it with me. And but I was just excited. I was probably excited just for a bit of peace and fucking quiet, you know, just a bit of me time. And that is kind of true, to be honest. As much as I jest there, it was kind of true because I'll explain in a bit what kind of, you know, running for that amount of time, the solitude in a way, and what it and the thought processes that kind of brought me to. So I get to the start line, Blackheath, and my partner, he leaves me, and I was like, oh my God, I'm here in the pen. Like every next step towards like getting going, I was like, oh my God, I'm here. What the hell? I'm here now. I'm in the pen. My wave has just been called up. I'm in my wave's pen. Oh my God, I'm starting running. I'm running the fucking marathon now. And we set off. I was in like one of the last waves. I was like, I'm here for a good time, probably a very long time. And I went out with kind of no ideal pace. I thought my minimum was if I got under 7, I'd be happy. If I got under 6, I'd be very happy. If I was under 5, whoo, you lot would not hear the end of it. Would never hear the end of it. Never. So that was a dream world. So I started out pretty well. I always heard everyone says, do not go out too fast. And I was really in my head, slow down, slow down, slow down. It's so hard though. It is really hard when your adrenaline starts going then. And, you know, the crowds in the beginning part of the marathon, they're just the crowds throughout everywhere is phenomenal. Like, I've done concerts, I've gone to big things where there are big crowds. I've gone to Beyonce like 4 times, right, guys? I genuinely think the marathon crowds, like, do not compare to them. Like, they are in their own league. It is, honestly, the most beautiful example of what humanity can truly be. Like, when we come together, it is so emotional. It is so inspiring. It is so motivating. But anyway, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Oh, God. And so, yeah, set off my pace. Yes, I was like, I was pretty on track with my ideal pace. And there was paces obviously throughout the marathon as well. And you can run along with them and, you know, have a rough ballpark of what time you're going to finish. So I was running for quite a while with the 5:45 paces. And I was like, solid, mate, bosh. And then it got to the 6 paces. And then I was like, just go away, like go away from me. And the only thing is with the paces, there's not going to be like a pack of people around them. So if you want to go ahead, you've got to get through that pack and then they catch up with you. I was getting quite pissed off with them, to be honest. Like, they move like a brick shit house, like fucking moving across, and you're like, can I just get through? I was like, I was running away from the pacer. It was ridiculous. It was so funny. Anyway, setting off, and within the first 500 meters, there was a bagpipe player and it just put the biggest smile on my face. I was wearing my Poppy badge that we were gifted at her funeral. So I had her close with me, and just hearing those bagpipes was just like confirmation. She was there. She was riding for me. She'd got my back and she was going, yeah, Ams, let's go. Let's fucking go. And so that was just a really lovely boost. And it was solid, 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 solid. I saw my friends and family for the first time at 10K at Cutty's Arc. And then, yeah, up to halfway, London Bridge. My God, it is insanity. The crowds up until that point, again, incredible. Got about halfway, still feeling fine. My heart rate had kind of regulated. I'd got a good heart rate. I was happy with that because that was another thing I was worried about, of my heart rate and just my lungs in general. Like, I've been a smoker since I was like 18, like off again, on again. I thought, yeah. And like I said at the funeral on Friday, I was obviously smoking there. So, you know, just all the bad things, you know, didn't give my body the best fighting chance, but hey ho. But my legs would do, they were hurting, but they were doing good. They were still moving. I was like, I can work through this. And then I saw another two friends a little bit further in. And then I started seeing like some grief gang people like shouting out. There was a really lovely moment just after halfway where I looked. There's a point where runners run back on each other. And like on the left-hand side, like I remember this part, it was so funny. I looked across like onto their side. They were running back in the direction that I'd just come from. And I thought, well, I wonder what their time is. And I saw a pacer coming up and they've got these big flags on their backs to tell you what time, you know, their pace is. And and I saw, and I was like, I wonder what they are. I wonder if I could catch up with them. Delusional, as always, delusional. And I saw the time and it was like, pacer, sub 4:15. And I was like, yeah, not me. I'm at the back of fucking 6 hours. How am I going to catch up 2 hours, you silly fuck? Anyway, as I'm looking on that side of the road, I look up on like there's a wall where people are standing on. And I see a previous grief gang group circle person called Millie. And it was just like the perfect moment. There was almost like these moments where it felt like the universe was grabbing my head and like turning it, being like, look over there. And I was seeing someone I knew and someone who said they were coming. And I was like, oh my God, if I didn't look then I would have missed them. So I've literally looked to my left across this road. There's loads of people and my eyes lock in on Millie. And I was like, Millie! And she was like, oh my God, Amber. And it was like, I'm on the other side of the road. I can't skip over and, you know, skip out like 20 kilometers, you know, and start running in that. I bet some people do that, you know. Oh, I wonder if people, they don't. Surely not. Surely not. So I keep on going. I keep on going. And by about 27K, blisters. Blisters, right? And my legs were throbbing, but blisters, yeah, it's a dunner. It's an absolute dunner. And, you know, you just can't think of anything else but them. It was agony. They were agony. And they're still on my feet now. They are agony. And that was what really slowed down my pace. And I was really pissed off about that. And so I tried to put blister plasters on. They just kind of slid off because I had sweaty feet. I was like, ugh. So I just had to firm it. And then after a while, you just got used to the pain and it kind of numbs itself. Anyway, during this time as well, my phone battery is starting to die. And because I've been listening to a bit of music before, like the early bits. I don't know why I did, to be honest. But I wasn't seeing my family until where were they? Maybe like mile 19 or something, in Canary Wharf this was now. And I made a mental note. I like text my partner. I was like, I need my charger. Like I brought a power bank in his bag to give. Anyway, I see them at Canary Wharf. I lose all composure and anything that I needed and just hugging and crying and laughing with them all. And I forget to pick up the charger. And then this was where my wall began to start layering itself brick by brick. I now wasn't seeing them until mile 25, so the final stretch. So I had to go. It was, yeah, about 10K. It was about 10K, yeah. So yeah, by the time I saw them, it was about 32K, 31K. And I had to go 10K without any stimulation, music, anything. And we were now going through Poplar, which was quite quiet. There were still people there, but it was nothing like Canary Wharf like we'd just been in, or Tower Bridge, or all that bits there where you don't need the music at all. This bit was quiet, and this was the part where I felt I actually was able to tap into, I think, that rewiring that I mentioned at the beginning here. And the first thing, as I was walking and my feet were in agony, and I thought, 10K to go, Amber. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you've just done three lots of them, you know. And the first thing that came through my mind to get me running again was, we can do hard things. And I get emotional now. This is where probably the post-marathon emotions come. I haven't really cried all week about it, you know, but I knew I'd probably cry on this. I thought, we can do hard things, Amber. We have done hard things. we will always go through hard things and you get through them time and time again. What's a measly 10K left to do? And it was in this final 10K and like this afternoon sunshine was kind of, it was a beautiful weather day. It was stunning. It was in these final 10Ks that I really kind of just shut my mind up, but actually really opened it to my whys, which is my mum and Poppy, of why I chose to do this challenge. And I really just got to spend some time with myself and actually, I think, reflect on the nearing 8 years that I have lived with grief and what I've done with it, and not in a what I've made, what I'm doing, but what I've done for myself and my grief, you know. Of, I think back to, I thought a lot throughout this time, I thought back to, you know, 19-year-old Amber, who was just so lost, you know, and how somewhere along the line, she wanted more for herself. She wanted more of this life for herself. And she knew with that, it meant to sit with the pain, to talk about the pain, to seek the beautiful moments still in life. And actually just took some time on this last final stretch to actually finally just say to myself, like, I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you. Not only like right here in that moment, but I'm proud of you for not giving up on us, you know. Oh, fucking hell, this is not my therapy. No, I'm really proud that we didn't give up on ourselves. I'm really proud that we didn't do something silly and leave this world. I'm really proud that we talk to the people in our lives about how we feel. And I'm really proud that you have found something that you are so passionate about at such a young age. And you love what you do. And no one has done that but you. And I found that really overwhelming in the moment to kind of sit with that, because I think I've probably said on here before, you know, that I have quite a hard time, I guess, giving myself, I guess you could say, a pat on the shoulder or just stopping to reflect. But spending 10K running and walking, majority, a bit of it, with nothing but your mind and a few people on the side of the street shouting out your name, it's a massive time for reflection. And I, of course, thought of, you know, my mum and Poppy, and various different thoughts and memories came in and kind of things that they've taught me. And, you know, specifically with Poppy, really, it's a very strange time for, you know, those of us close to Poppy, as this was very much, you know, the time last year that everything was unfolding for Poppy. And so, you know, it's like my body is keeping the score of it. Like, I can't help but look through our WhatsApp chat to see what were we talking about this time last year. Was it this date? Was it that date when she got the diagnosis? When was it? And I, like I said earlier, going every time I felt like, I can't do this. I actually can't do this. Do you know what? I don't think there really was a time where I was like, ever thought, I'm not going to be able to do this. There was always, I know I'm going to do this. I just don't know how. I just didn't know how. And every time came back to that saying, we can do hard things. We can do hard things. And I am doing hard things. And I'm doing hard things because the people that I have loved and lost have gone through hard things as well. And they went through really hard things and they're not here anymore, but they did get through the hard things. And take the lessons from that, Amber, apply them here. You have lived through so much. just get to the end. It has to end at some point as well, is what something that I told myself a lot. This has to end at some point. Like it, the line doesn't just keep moving, like it is stagnant. You've just got to get there. And I finally see Embankment and I'm like, this is it. We're nearly there. And I see my friends and family for the final time at mile 25 and I get the charger finally. For, you know, the last useless bit that I'm not going to use it for anything. But anyway, I was in a way, I think that was meant to happen. I think it was meant to happen that I wasn't meant to pick up the charger on that last bit and to actually spend that time, that last bit, just me, myself and I. And I pick up the charger and I have a couple of sips of a Guinness, obviously, Powers, sweet nectar. And I turn the corner on Westminster and, you know, to your left is Big Ben, behind you is London Eye. And there is just this sea of people and the sun. It was like it was the stage. It was just unbelievable. I just, oh, if I could bottle it all up, I really would. And I'm running, my feet are throbbing at this point. And you turn the corner onto the Mall. And you see 385 yards to go. And you turn that corner, Buckingham Palace on your left. And again, a sea of people absolutely rooting for you, the final bit. And you turn that bend onto the Mall and you see the finish line. Your eyes actually cannot believe it. Well, mine couldn't. I was like, it is there. And in that moment, I really felt my mum and Poppy with me. Like I kind of felt them like tag team, like throughout the day at different parts. But at this point, I really felt them there. And I'd look into the crowds left to right. And I knew in my heart that I was still like looking for their face. Looking for my mum's short little bob and hair and her demeanour, looking for Poppy's black bob and red lip, like, I still look for them, you know? And with that, I absolutely pelted it. Absolutely pelted it with whatever final expelling of energy in me, I absolutely pelted it. And crossing that finish line was just euphoria, relief, pure relief, but pure euphoria. And again, what ran through my mind was, we can do hard things, and you just did a very hard thing, Amber. And then it was hobbling to go and get my stuff. And I thought I'd be way more emotional crossing the finish line. I really did. Oh my God, I'm a snotty mess. I knew I would be, but I thought I'd be way more emotional crossing the finish line, but I just had this grin on my face like the Cheshire Cat. It was ridiculous. And I think you are in a state of shock. Like I looked around at other people and I was like, yeah, I've got that face on mine as well. Like we were just completely shocked. I saw my two pals, Bev and Alison, big up them two, that I made friends with in the last like 5K of it. We were girls together. We were, you know, big up. Bev was like, Amber, get to that Prosecco. I was like, darling, you ain't got to tell me twice. And, you know, at that point, again, it's something really, I think there's something really special or really, maybe for me, I felt actually was quite necessary of actually in that moment, not, you know, at the finish line, like not being immediately met with your loved ones, friends and family. Like, I think if you were like, you know, they were literally waiting for you there at the finish line or a few yards ahead. I know some people did have their loved ones doing that meeting points, but there was something about actually just taking that next 15 minutes for me to get my stuff, go to the toilet, hobble along to Trafalgar Square, where I was meeting my family, where I just in my head, I was like, you've just run the London Marathon, Amber. Like, I felt like I was a crazy person, like walking along, like talking in my head, and I'm looking at all these people, like, you know, jumping into the arms of their loved ones, and I'm kind of looking around, like, knowing that's about to come for me, but also just like, what a beautiful day, and more of, you know, throughout the whole duration of the marathon, and then seeing people, you know, meet their people at the end of the line. You know, for a large majority of people running the marathon, especially in the, you know, the later waves, they're running it either for someone or like for themselves, for a cause, you know. And it's almost like, when I was thinking about it, to some degree, it really is like a huge, big grief gang in a weird, weird way of, for people who are running for someone in memory. You know, it's like you're watching every runner, you see on the back of their shirts when you're running behind them for whoever that they've written on their back, or multiple people that they've got written. And like, you just want to, like, you want to know the stories. You want to know the stories. And then so when you see these people meet up with their people at the end, and you know nothing about the story, you just see it, and you see the elation on their loved ones, on their faces, it is just one of life's finest moments, honestly. I know for anyone thinking who's not enjoys running, you might think absolutely not, but I don't know, you know, I'd contest. It is one of life's finest moments. People, before I ran it, people would say it's one of the best days of your life ever. I was like, what, ruining your body is one of the best days of your life? And I get it now. I completely get it. It is just an unbelievable day. And so I met my friends and family, and I literally hobbled over in a pair of flip-flops. Every step was agony. And we went to the pub and I had a few Guinnesses. And then, hobbled my way home and was, like cemented to my bed for like most of Monday. But like I said, I think it's taken me this week and sitting down and actually recording this to really process what I've done. You know, I did it in 6:43. So I met my minimum, I guess, expectation of myself. I've put my hat back in the ring again for next year for the ballot, and I'm applying to a few charity spaces. And I hope to see some of you there with me next year. I think if you are able, everyone should do a marathon. It doesn't matter what time you finish. I think everyone should do it for the experience. Plus, it is really nice to have people just shouting your name and giving you sweets. I saw a girl on TikTok like, I want to just do the marathon because that's all I want. I want people to say my name and shout my name and give me sweeties. I thought it was hilarious. But it is, of course, one of the most grueling things you might potentially ever put your body and your mental psyche through. But my God, it's worth it. Like I said, there's something that is just rewired in my brain. Like there's, I think when I think about what is it that is switched in my brain, I think it's an interesting one, because I've obviously gone through hard things and still continue to go through hard things. Like, is that not enough of a confirmation that you can do hard things, Amber? But there's something about the physicality of putting yourself through something really hard that is quite, I think, ingraining quite factually in my brain of like, you've done something really hard there. Maybe because it's something that is universally held as something really hard. I don't know. But it feels a very pivotal point in my life again. And it's really interesting. I'm still unpacking it, to be honest, and I'll let you know when I kind of do, but something has changed, and something has changed for the better, if I must say so. And I feel really proud that I've done it. I feel really, really proud that I've done it. I should have got my medal. It's over there sitting on the bar. London Marathon 2024 in the bag. I just want to say also a huge thank you to every single person who donated. You helped me reach way over my target of $2,500. I think I was in about, and they're still live actually, I think I've hit about £3,300. And all that money is going to the British Heart Foundation to help those fighting with heart disease and any other heart condition, and for the families that have been affected by the loss of a loved one to a heart disease or condition. Like my family, I'm hoping I get in next year. I am really hoping. I'd be really jealous and have FOMO if I didn't get in next year. But if anyone is thinking about doing it, if you've got any questions, if you want to ask someone who's done it, you know, I wasn't an athlete in it, but if you've got any questions, I'm always more than happy to answer them for you and get back to you. And anyone sitting on the fence about it, just go for it. It might just be one of the most amazing things you ever do in your life. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you for not only your donations, your support throughout the marathon, your kind, kind words of celebration as well. I am catching up still. It has just been a really, you know, week up there for the books, and I'm really proud of me. I'm proud of me for getting through a hard thing. And it was all for you, Mum and Poppy. It was all for you, as it always will be. Big love, and I will see you all next Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. I appreciate more than you'll ever know your support of the show, and I hope this episode has supported you in one way or another. Spread the good word about the Grief Gang podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Subscribe to the show on your chosen listening platform so you're first to know when a new episode drops. Visit the show notes below to follow the Grief Gang on all social platforms. And pay our website a visit to find further resources and ways to get in contact and work with me. Look after yourself and know that you are never alone. I'll see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.